Okay, hello, and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru Weekly Podcast Series. I'm Michael Langley, your host, and I'm here with Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru, and this is episode 11 of our Q&A session. And as always, before we get started, we'll state our standard disclaimer. None of the information in this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. If you have any questions, please consult your licensed healthcare professional. The same information, though, I've used to help myself as well as countless clients over the past 10 or so years. The advice is assuming you've gone to your doctor, and you've had your knee checked out, and they have determined that nothing is broken or torn. So that's what we say before we get started with anything. Part of the country that I'm in, my allergies are attacking my sinus cavities, so I apologize in advance for any snottiness or snortiness sounds I make during this. And Bill just returned from Germany last evening, I believe, so he's feeling like it's 6 hours later than what it currently is. So we'll have to keep him on his P's and Q's here.
Yeah.
So, actually, Bill, if you're ready, pardon?
Actually, I've been up for a while.
I would say you have.
6 hours later, I've been up early. So.
You've already had dinner and everything. Okay. all right, Bill, well, if you're ready to go, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. The first topic needing attention is that Norma, her pains come and go, and she takes Tumarin for pain, and she also takes Viatrol S. And the Tumarin for pain, I'm not sure if that's, if you could explain a little more of that about that. I don't know if it's habit forming or if it's a narcotic, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't detail the type or where the on the knee her pain is. But is wanting suggestions of exercises to do to strengthen the knee, and any other help that that you could give her.
Sure. Well, I'm not familiar with Tumarin tablets. However, what it boils down to is she's dealing with pain in her knees. So whatever the tablets that she's taking, that I'm assuming these are being prescribed by a doctor or someone along those lines, you're essentially masking the pain. And it's important to address the underlying issue. If you have an intense period where you first injure your knee, then absolutely. The doctor can give you some pain medication to get you through a period of a week or 2 weeks while you're dealing with that initial injury to get you through the real intense part. Yet it's important to set up that, look at the bigger picture, set up the conditions so the knee begins to heal itself, that you're doing the things that your body needs for you to do to set up the conditions so your knee heals itself. So, of course, Norma didn't give a lot of details here, and strengthening the knees may not be what she needs. And I talk about that in my different programs, where there's five aspects to getting over chronic knee pain. There's water, there's nutrition, there's exercise, which is what she's talking about. There's also stretching and breathing. And we need to know more history. We need to know a bigger picture of what's happening with her knees, when her knees cause her pain. Is it in the morning? Is it in the afternoon? Is it in the evening? Is it at night? Is it when she's walking? Is it when she's standing still? Is it when she's sitting or when she's lying down? All of these paint a picture as to what's going on with the knees. And, of course, if in fact it's strength that needs to be had in the knees or gotten in the knees, then it's important to strengthen the knees. And when you're strengthening the knees, it's not strengthening the muscles in the legs. Strengthening the knees is completely different. So you need to strengthen the tendons and ligaments. And of course, by definition, tendons connect muscle to bone, and ligaments connect bone to bone. So in order to strengthen those, you have to fatigue the muscles, and you got to get the muscles out of the way so then the body begins to strengthen the structure. That's the tendons and the ligaments. So I have an ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, that goes into in depth on those specific strengthening exercises for what's going on with the knees to strengthen the joints.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I was going to say, in the ebook, it breaks it down. I just remember the first time I read it, it breaks it down so easily, and even just the exercises and the how to begin, even just starting very slowly with those exercises until you're comfortable, and then moving forward and so on and so forth. And
And Michael, one of the common misconceptions is that you really have to do a lot to strengthen the knees. It's important to understand that when you do the correct exercise correctly, it only really takes a couple minutes. Like literally only a couple minutes, a timed couple minutes, and you're doing everything that your knee needs in order to build the strength in the joint. And that's a common misconception, that people will go into the gym or go to a physical therapist or go to an occupational therapist, and they will be there for 45 minutes to an hour doing leg extensions, leg curls, lots of sets, lots of reps, squats, all of these different types of exercises that really aren't doing anything for the joint itself except to make it more instable or unstable.
Right. And couldn't that cause more problems than help doing?
Absolutely. And as you see in the conditions in so many people's knees, is that they're getting worse. The situation is getting worse, and the only solution that the medical paradigm, the conventional medical paradigm has is, well, we'll give prescription drugs or shots until we numb the pain enough that you don't feel the knees, which really doesn't make it go away. The issue is still there. The underlying problem is still there. And the next step is, well, we'll continue to give shots or prescription drugs until the knees get bad enough or the person gets old enough that they could justify having surgery. Now, that is just retarded in terms of, yeah, really, it is. If you look at it from a logical perspective, that is just idiotic to look at the body, which has the infinite capacity to heal itself, and look at it that way to say, well, we'll just give it a synthetic drug, whether it's taken in pill form or in a shot, that the body can get better. And if that doesn't work, well, then we'll just put in plastic or metal
right
in the knee to make the pain go away. And if nothing is broken or torn, then the body can't heal what's going on.
Right. And I'm not trying to put down any medical doctor, any advice a medical person would give, but I think just human nature as a patient, you know, I have a doctor. When they tell us something, we believe it to be the truth, the whole truth, and only the truth.
Right.
And, you know, and not looking any further outside of the box of, well, what are my other possibilities besides taking this pain medication, which I've heard you say over and over and over again, you're basically just putting a Band-Aid on the problem.
At best.
You know, at best when we're doing that. So.
Yeah. And believe me, I'm not against the medical paradigm. I believe if I fit in that paradigm, I want them working on me. When I blew out my knee, and I dislocated my left knee four times, I tore the ligament in my left knee. it was dangling from one end. I had two pieces of meniscus that were just shredded in my knee, my left knee. And if I wouldn't have had that surgery, I wouldn't be able to get where I am today. So I believe it's very important to understand that if something is broken or torn, their paradigm works. What I'm talking about is outside of that paradigm. Nothing is broken or torn. You've done the CT scan, the MRI, the X-ray. Everything is anatomically correct, yet you're still experiencing pain. Now you do not fit in their paradigm. You're outside of the scope of what that medical paradigm understands how to address. And that's where solutions need to be looked at otherwise. And that's essentially what we're doing, what this is all about.
Right. Well, I think as kind of broad as Norma stated what was going on with her and then wanting to know about exercises, to help her, I think the ebook would be a great place to start. And, then signing up for the ebook, which she can get in the virtual clinic for free for 30 days, is that correct as well?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and, I can't think of a better foundation for her to get started. And, then from there she could go into more detail with you and, send in another question, so give you a little more idea about what's causing her knee pain.
By going to freekneepainreport.com, all of the information is there.
Right.
There will be emails. You'll automatically receive the free report that talks about those five components I was chatting about before. It gives the opportunity to get a hold of the ebook, which, of course, gives you a month with the virtual clinic for free. I have the entire blog that is attached to that virtual clinic. We have all of the podcasts listed. We have all of the information is there. It's available. It's up online, and people can be helped by it. They need to take the initiative. It's like that old saying, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Uh-huh.
And the information is there, and by spending a little time, energy, and effort, the knee pain can be gone. As a matter of fact, I got a client I've been working with. It's 2 months since we started working with her, and she was just down in the dumps. It was like she was looking for any type of solution, and she'd already gone through the whole medical thing, and she wasn't getting any improvement with physical therapy. There was nothing broken or torn. It was really basic stuff that was going on with her. Last week, she ran for the first time. She gave up running 2 years ago because it was too painful. She always felt like her knee was going to give out and all of that. And within 2 months of working one-on-one with me, we were able to get her to a place where she felt comfortable enough to go jogging, to go running. And she said it was really cool, the email I got from her, that she was almost in tears because it's like she could really see the changes take place in a short period of time.
That's a life-changing event. I mean,
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's exciting, too, so both for you and for her. okay. We're going to move on from Norma. Teal has crepitus knees, which means they pop and then crack. His knees hurt when he goes up and down stairs, when he bends to sit down. He can't do squats without pain, but I can't imagine trying a squat if my knees hurt when I go up and down stairs or just bend to sit down. He's looking for a natural way for his body to produce more synovial fluid or cartilage. He's not had an exam and feels like there has to be a way to naturally heal. Bill, do you have any suggestions for Teal?
Well, absolutely. I think the big piece is to rule out that something is broken or torn, and this is what we talked about initially.
Mm-hmm.
And the production of synovial fluid is based on the amount of water we drink. The body, in order to produce more synovial fluid, it needs to have the liquid in the system, in your body, in order to do so. And a lot of times the body stops producing synovial fluid because of the lack of water. Like, we have a hierarchy in our body. The brain and the blood gets the water first. So, you know, it's our blood controls everything. If our brain controls everything. So if our brain's not working, we die. And our blood supplies our brain with oxygen, nutrition, and things like that. And if we don't have enough water in our body, the blood can't flow. It forms clots. We have all sorts of other issues. So the point of it is if we don't drink enough water, the body has to go to the lower priority areas, which are the bones and the synovial fluid in the joints, in order to supply the blood and the brain with water. So if we don't drink enough water, the joints dry out, the bones get more brittle. It actually draws, when we don't drink enough water, it draws calcium out of our bones. And for women, it's a huge issue if they're dealing with osteoporosis, because now it's leaching calcium out of the bones. So no matter how much calcium supplements are taken, for a person who's dealing with osteoporosis or issues like that, they're still going to get more brittle bones. So to produce more synovial fluid, drink more water. And then as far as the cartilage, the body can begin to repair that if it has the proper nutrition. And there's a huge, I've been really hitting a lot as far as the nutrition lately and really studying and getting into the details on that. And the majority of the world's diet is eating foods that are toxic to the body, primarily being grains. Anything in the form of a grain has a seed coating on it that the body perceives it as a neurotoxin. So the body, it creates an acidic state that makes it difficult for the body to heal itself. So there's a whole chemical process that goes on within our body when we eat processed grains, you know, sugar, wheat, and dairy, things like that, that makes it very difficult for the body to heal and repair the cartilage, the damage that's going on in the knees.
I don't want to butcher go ahead, sorry.
By getting rid of those foods that are causing the problems, now the body is freed up to heal the damage.
Gotcha. I don't want to butcher the name of the book, but you've spoken about it several times, and I believe there's a link to it on your website, kneepainguru.com. But is it called the Paleolithic Diet?
Right, the Paleo Diet. Basic thing. It's a really, really simple concept. You eliminate grains, dairy, and sugar and foods that are heavily preserved, and you eat fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and lean meats. And it's really simple. And in doing so, the changes that I've seen in my body has been pretty amazing. Not the changes that I thought I'd see. You know, it's like we expect to feel more lethargic after we eat a meal. And that's actually the body's response to chronic inflammation caused by the food that we're eating. It's like the craziest thing. It's almost like by reading this book, like you're saying the emperor doesn't have any clothes. You know, you're saying that, what do you mean?
Right.
I can't grains. I can't eat wheat, barley, rye, all of those things that they make bread out of. Well, how will I eat a sandwich? You know, how
right.
will I have how will I have cereal in the morning? What will I eat my cereal with? You know, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, it's like now it's completely changing how we look at food, and kind of changes the dynamics. Yet, the people that adopt this diet, their body heals very, very quickly, and not just with knee stuff. All over.
Right. Okay, well, hope that takes care of Teal's information. It should. Okay, this next individual has recently had pain and swelling on the outside of the left knee and part of the kneecap. It seems to happen when and after I was driving and using the foot pedal, the clutch, while driving my car. I've been to my doctor and also to a specialist, neither of whom seem to really know what's going on. A short while previously, I started to experience right hip pain while and after driving and using the foot pedals, the brake and accelerator, which had different heights and made me move my hip up and down in order to use them. I wonder if this was the initial cause for the knee pain. The specialist seemed only interested in my knee, which was obvious to see as it was not straight as it should be, but slightly pushed outward. Any ideas besides getting an automatic and not having a manual transmission?
Yeah, ideas other than driving with a clutch. Yeah, it's just like you know, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that. You know, that kind of. However, to really give a an intelligent answer, there is a huge component. There is a huge piece as far as the tension. Like if your knee hurts, it's not necessarily there's anything wrong with your knees. It's just that it's the weakest link in the tension from the head to the feet. So by looking at the body with a global perspective, the knees are just the end result of all sorts of other stuff pulling really tight. So addressing the knees may not necessarily be the solution in order to get rid of your knee pain. For instance, one of my clients that I work with one-on-one, her feet have started hurting within the past couple weeks. Now, it's like, well, what about her knees? Well, her knees aren't bothering her anymore. They're getting stronger. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is now she's becoming more aware of tension patterns that are showing up in other areas of her body, in her hips, in her lower back, in her shoulders, in her feet. And now that spot, the left outside of the knee that, well, the gentleman didn't, or the person, I'm assuming it's a gentleman, didn't say, you know, they didn't say, what didn't they say? They didn't say that wasn't relating it to related it to the right hip.
Correct.
So the right hip compensates for when the left knee hurts. The whole body shifts away from the left side and puts it in the right hip. So sometimes it's a chicken or egg thing. We don't know which one came first. Was it the knee that began hurting that caused the problems in the hip, or was it the hip that started hurting that caused the problems in the knee? Or was it something else somewhere in the body that began giving problems and caused both of them to happen? So it's important to look at the bigger picture of what's going on and understanding it from a macroscopic view getting a, you know, a bigger picture of what's going on and then zooming in and looking exactly what's going on in the knee. And the key here is to gain more awareness and relax those tension patterns that's going on in the knee and in the hip and see what's still presenting itself.
Yes, the first thing I thought of, just from listening to you from prior Q&A sessions, was when this individual mentioned, you know, and now my hip is starting to hurt. This person would automatically assume due to the accelerator and the brake being at different heights. That wasn't what I thought. My first instinct was, well, your knee's hurting from pushing in the clutch. Your hip's overcompensating to try to take some of that pressure off of the knee when you're going back and forth, just because so many of the ailments and problems are all interrelated to, you know, each part of the body.
Right. And one of it is in the virtual clinic, I have not only how to relax the tension in the knee, you know, I have like a specific video that the part that he's, once again, I'm assuming it's a he, is saying the left part outside of the left knee and part of the kneecap. I have like a specific video that will show how to relax the tension in that spot and how to address that. And then as the body unwinds and lets go, you see the tension patterns in other areas, and I have videos corresponding with those other areas. So primarily the hips, the lower back, the feet, like I was talking about before, and how you can address the tension in those areas as well.
Right. Okay, yeah, I had some phone issues there for a second, but I'm back in action, so I apologize if that made any strange noise or anything. Besides making me freak out for 20 seconds.
I'm good.
Okay. Are we ready to move on, Bill? Sorry about that. I apologize, everybody.
Yeah, I didn't even notice.
Okay, good, great. Well, then your answer was perfect.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'm going to let you run with this one a little more, just for my ignorance on what this individual is talking about. So I'm just going to kind of read this verbatim. Dear Bill, I have not mentioned earlier that I had polio of the left leg, and I was managing my best like trekking and walking regularly in the mornings. My right knee went for a 2 to 3 months back. Viral fever or sheer overworked right knee. My right knee was taking me around in that pains. Have tried physiotherapy, and each time it gets aggravated. I am back on painkillers now. I am also a gynecologist, and the pain has forced me to cut down my work. So, in short, my only leg that took the major weight is in pain, and I need your advice. Shane.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Shane, the big piece here is the body's compensating for what's going on. Polio, of course, is a very debilitating disease that causes a lot of times the one leg to be deformed, and it causes the body to compensate. And especially, I've worked on people with polio, and they compensate a lot in their hips and their lower back. And it's exactly what I was talking about in the previous question, is the body continues to compensate. So now what's happening is the body is compensated so much for the one leg that now it's feeling it in the other leg. The key is to create space. You're talking about the nervous system getting tense, tightening up to protect itself, and what needs to happen is we need to create more space, reverse that process, switch over from the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight, flight, or freeze, to the parasympathetic, and back that tension off so the body has more space. It takes the pressure off of the nerves, and the body can heal itself. It has the ability to rest better. And that's a huge piece in terms of when you're in the parasympathetic or the rest and relax aspect of your nervous system, the body is able to regenerate itself and heal itself. And then, of course, adding in the water and the nutrition so the body has the proper fuel it needs to heal the damaged tissue, heal what's going on, and then the water to flush it out is, I believe, the perfect combination of what will work. So I can go over that in depth in the virtual clinic.
Right. This question may or may not pertain, or this question of towards this question may or may not pertain all that much, but does age, we don't know how old Shane is, but does age have anything, an effect on any suggestions you're giving in this situation?
I mean, certainly if you've been, and this is what I see a lot, is people will, we tend to kick our own butts best, you know?
Right.
Kind of abusive. And if we've been self-abusive for, you know, 50, 60 years, and all of a sudden we start to change that, it's going to take a little bit more time than someone who is a teenager or in their 20s that suddenly go, oh, this isn't working for me anymore. I need to change my lifestyle. I need to do things different. The body's ability to heal itself is not necessarily so much a function of the age. It's how long has this been going on? And what are the expectations of the body getting over this stuff? So, you know, if you've had an injury, if you injured your knee 20 some years ago, and now you're changing the path and doing things different with your knees, it's going to take a little bit more time. Yet, as long as nothing is broken or torn, the body has the ability to heal itself. It's regenerating cells every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact of life. And there's a statistic out there. There was a scientific study done, is that who we are today and who we are 7 years from now, we have completely new cells. Like every cell in our body has been regenerated. It's been created again. So if we want to begin to change how our body responds or how our body heals, we need to change how we do things. So by doing things differently, in a period of 7 years, we have the opportunity to completely reinvent ourselves, because everything is different. Everything is new. There's nothing the same unless we choose for it to be the same.
Right.
So,
yeah. And from my experience, go ahead. What were you going to say, Bill?
Before I get too woo-woo out there, there is the ability. I don't believe it's a function of age. I believe it's a function of, are we changing old patterns, or are we just merely deceiving ourselves that we're doing things differently? Just
right.
Because you start doing knee exercises after a period of a couple weeks, it doesn't mean that it's really going to change the bigger picture of what caused the problems in the knees to begin with.
Right. Well, I can speak from my personal experience and just say, you know, you were talking about, you know, change. Well, when I was younger and in my upper teens and low 20s, well, I thought I knew it all. And I thought everything I was doing was right. You couldn't make me change anything. Now that I'm getting older, I get comfortable in what I'm doing, and making a change is even harder, like routine. And so I can see how for both age groups, you know, that's just something you just got to get overcome and just say, hey, let's try something different here.
Right. I mean, the definition of insanity is, you know, doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
And it's like I've worked with people. I do consultations, and I'll talk with someone, and they're like, oh, I have my diet's perfect. My water's perfect. I do yoga, I do all of these different things, and that isn't the issue, yet I can't understand why my knees aren't getting out of pain.
Right.
It's like, Well, obviously, you need to look at something that you're doing that isn't working. Yet we have the guy's name is Tony Schwartz. He's written a book called The Power of Full Engagement. And I love this quote that he said. It's like, we have the infinite capacity for self-deception, that we continue to deceive ourselves that what we're doing is really working, when, in fact, if you're getting the same result as you have for the past several months, several years, several decades, well, then it really isn't working. And it takes there's a huge part of our ego that's tied into that, that if we don't look at that and say, oh, okay, I could be wrong here, is your desire to be right greater than your desire to be out of pain?
Right.
So,
well, going back to that comment that you made just a second ago, the church I attend, I guess one day a week or 2 days a week, I'm not sure, they allow a 12-step program, to use one of the rooms there for them to have their meetings. And they have little signs and whatnot posted, around the area. And there's one right by the bathroom door when you walk in, and it just says, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that kind of went back to what you said. And then you go in, and I'm like, I thought about that one. I was like, well, that's obviously true. If nothing changes, nothing can change. I go in the bathroom, use the restroom, go to wash my hands, and then right on the mirror looking back at you, there's another one that's framed in the same font as the nothing changes one that just says duh. So it's kind of like they throw that out there for you to think about it, and you're like, you're right, that is duh, 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 duh. And then by the time you're finished using the bathroom, you're washing your hands, and it says duh, you're right. If you don't change anything, nothing's going to change. How can you expect something to change? And I thought that was neat, and I thought it was neat the church left it up there. So you could apply that to any realm of life, I suppose.
Okay, so how are we doing? What's the next question?
All right, moving on. Let's see here. Dear respected Bill, I'm 69 years old, and due to aging process, before 6 months, my right leg started paining me, especially as I walk more and when I climb steps. To reduce weight, walking is necessary. What am I supposed to do? Please guide me and oblige. Yours, Ray. And walking is definitely necessary. That's for sure. He says to lose weight, but we need to walk.
Well, walking is part of it. You could lose weight by just eating the proper foods.
Right. Yeah.
And the huge piece of what I was talking about, the paleo diet, is that this is interesting, and this has all been documented by these people who study nutrition. This gentleman's name is Dr. Lauren Cordain. He's a PhD at Colorado State University, and he's been studying this stuff for a long time, and he's got a team of researchers that have realized that by eating more protein, by increasing your protein intake, you will actually lose weight just by increasing your protein, because protein has a thermogenic effect, which means it actually heats up. You're building more muscle. If you have more muscle, the body naturally burns calories more effective and more efficiently. And, of course, if you're eliminating grains and dairy from your diet, now you're addressing the inflammation that's created by the grains and the dairy, the inflammation in your gut, which makes you feel like for the 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag, that feeling that you're stuffed after you eat. That's inflammation that the body is experiencing. So by increasing your protein intake, the body can begin losing weight as a result of that. And I'd highly suggest, if anyone's having issues as far as weight or anything like that, getting the book, The Paleo Diet by Dr. Lauren Cordain. And I got that the link right on the Knee Pain Guru website on how to get that. But it's a phenomenal book, and it really gives a bigger picture of what's going on.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to move on, Bill. This one's from Ken, individual, 82 years old. And he says, thanks for the report. However, he does not have any pain in his knees. What he does have is stiffness, which makes movement, especially walking, climbing, et cetera, very difficult. He's tried various medications, under his doctor's supervision, but to no good result. Tried physiotherapy, which did give some good relief, but still there's no permanent result that Ken's looking for. He's very seriously considering an operation, but worried about that, mainly because Ken's 82 years old. What advice can you give to Ken?
Sure. It goes back to those five components. The body can be stiff because it's drying out because it doesn't have enough water. That could be the first one. That's one of the points that I talk about in my free report. The second one, stiffness can be caused, and that's one of the studies that Dr. Lauren Cordain did, was that eating too many grains, eating too much dairy, not the right proportion of protein to fats to carbohydrates, not eating enough vegetables, can cause the body to feel more stiff. And, of course, that gets worse as you get older, because now the body is not healing as quickly as it could. It's like our bodies are very forgiving when we're younger, so we can get away with a really bad diet, and we don't notice it as much. And then as we get older, now our bodies are less forgiving, and we're noticing these things more. So diet can have a change with that. Another piece, stiffness is caused by just strengthening muscles. And we addressed that in a question earlier, that if you just strengthen muscles, it's not strengthening the joints. If the joints aren't strong, there isn't smooth movement. And the smooth movement is what you're looking for in order for, the flexibility. The stretching, that's another piece. Stretching is real important to get the body in a limber state so that it's able to move very fluid, and the proper stretching for what the body needs. And another thing is that the nervous system, the body's perception of pain, is not necessarily just with the body's perception of tension is not necessarily pain. It can be stiffness. It can be tightness. It can be burning. It could be shooting. These are all different barometers that something's going on in your body. For instance, like the dashboard of your car, if a light goes on, it can say, because your oil, there's something going on with your oil. You can have the check engine light go on. You can have the temperature light go on. And these are all indications that there's a different thing going on with your car, yet each of them there's a light shining as a result. So the body will give different indications. If you're feeling something, pain in your knees or burning in your knees or shooting in your knees or issues, that's all an indication that something's going on with the nervous system.
Okay, and then kind of a side question that I just came up. What's your – and this should obviously be discussed with an individual's personal physician or doctor, but with the – Ken's age being 82, should that play a role in whether or not an operation goes forward or not? I just hear, like my grandmother said, she could have been put under for some dental work she had done, but she chose not to due to the risks of, anesthesia.
Well, I mean, certainly there's lots of risks. There's more variables that go into play as someone gets older. However, the body essentially functions the same.
Right.
It still needs air to breathe, and it still needs food. It still needs water. It still needs exercise. It still needs rest. All of those things are the same, whether you're talking about a baby or you're talking about someone who's 90.
Right.
The function is the same. And if nothing is broken or torn, then an operation is not necessarily going to fix what's going on. It just means that they had an operation.
Right.
Right? You know, because nothing really, nothing was broken or torn before. That you're talking about stiffness. And an operation is not going to correct stiffness.
Not at all.
It just means you're going to have an operation.
And be sore for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Operations are brutal. And if anything, the operation is going to create more tension in the body because it's the body perceives that as a threat. You're talking about the sympathetic nervous system. You get put under an anesthesia, the pucker factor goes through the roof. I don't care who you are or how many surgeries you've had, that's a traumatic experience. You are out of control. You don't have control of what's happening. And then just because you're asleep, just because you're under anesthesia, doesn't mean your body doesn't perceive a knife going into it. The body responds and the body remembers, even though we're not necessarily awake. And that's a threat to our nervous system, and it causes tension, and it gets stuck in the nervous system. And all these experiences build up over our life and create more tension and lack of mobility and more stiffness, and that impinges on the nerves and causes more pain.
Right.
So when that stress builds up over time in our body, in our nervous system, and we have less mobility and flexibility, society calls that old age. And that just, it doesn't necessarily have to be the case.
Right. I think you addressed Ken perfectly. And also, I just have to make a statement. When you were talking about the surgery, you know, obviously I've been put under a couple times. We're not there to see what goes on, and I've only witnessed this from, you know, medical TV shows. But when you see someone having surgery, it doesn't look like they're being very gentle. Whether it be from when they cut in or once they get in there and are doing stuff, you're out cold and you don't know what's going on. But I don't see any real tender loving care going on. They're moving stuff around, yanking around and sewing around because they know you can't feel anything, and that's not
right.
Normal. I mean, that's just, you know, your body is going to freak out.
Have you ever had the opportunity to speak with a surgeon? Like to speak with them?
No.
There is a perfect example of it. There was one movie Alec Baldwin was in. And he was going through a deposition. He was being questioned by lawyers about whether he thinks he's God or if he had a God complex.
Uh-huh.
Because of how, you know, he knows so much about the surgery aspect of things. And, you know, basically he goes through his whole thing. And at the end of the statement, he says, I don't think I'm God. I am God. So, it's like that's the perfect. That is the stereotypical surgeon that's out there,
right?
That think they can do no wrong, and in a way, it's important for them to have that confidence, because if you're going underneath for surgery, you need someone with that kind of confidence, that kind of cockiness, in order you don't want someone going, well, I'm not sure if this is going to work.
Right. It's like LeBron James or Kobe Bryant at the end of the game. Get me the ball, I will score. You know, you want them on your team.
However, if there's nothing that's broken or torn, that kind of confidence, that kind of cockiness can cause a whole host of issues as far as how your body feels. So
right.
just something to think about and something to consider when
sure.
considering surgery.
Sure. Okay, Bill, we're going to move on. And this question, I'm simply just going to read it. I'm ignorant to some of this, and you're not, definitely because of some of the wordiness, and this person's into MMA as well as you are. So here we go. Hey, Bill, my name is Adam, and I had PCL reconstruction May of 2009. I originally sought an orthopedist because I felt an injury to the inside of my knee or my MCL during a grappling tournament. I'm big into MMA, and I'm so depressed that I can't return. So I went to the doctor, and he examined my MCL and diagnosed it second degree, but also noticed I had a sag where my PCL had apparently been torn. He then persuaded me that the MCL has good blood supple and will heal on its own along with PCL reconstruction, will bring stability to the knee. So it's been almost 11 months now. My PCL is strong as an ox, but my MCL is soft, sore, and laxish. I followed physical therapy above and beyond, and am back in the gym doing various exercises, such as squats and deadlifts, with considerable weights. For example, I'll squat 225 for sets of 10, slow and perfect to 90 degrees and back up. I'm strong, but my MCL feels terrible. It won't heal. I can't grapple, and time to time I feel slack in the MCL and a lot of tenderness and soreness. Grappling is out of the question because of this menacing injury. What can I do?
Got it. Adam, here's the deal. You work on structure. And those squats, those sets of 10 for 225 are great. However, they're not building up the strength in your knees. You're building strength in your muscles. And that's the difference. That's the apples and oranges between muscular strength and tendon strength. And by working on dynamic movement in your slow dynamic movement with breathing, with proper breathing, and slowing down the exercises, so instead of doing a set of 10, you're doing one set, one rep, but you're doing it for an extended period of time. And that's going to make a huge difference in tightening up the MCL. And of course, for those that aren't familiar, the MCL is the medial collateral ligament, and the PCL is the posterior collateral ligament. So you're talking about ligaments that run parallel with your legs, that are holding the legs in place, and then you're looking at the two that make an X, like inside of your knee. And those are the ones that hold the knee in place, that create the structure. And if those aren't strong, then the structure isn't going to be as strong. It's pulling imbalanced. And, so I go over that in my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, the exercises you need to do, whether it be walking on your knees or the magic chair or the different exercises that I have there, that just for a couple minutes a day, it's going to make difference night and day as to how your body heals and recovers from what you got going on.
And I think that's one of the most amazing things about the ebook, whether these questions come from an 85-year-old who has trouble going up and down stairs, or to someone like Adam. I don't think he says it's his age, but he's obviously someone in the gym, big, strong, tough, probably younger person. The exact same advice that you would give to the older person walking up the stairs, the ebook addresses that and will help both of them in the same way take care of their problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just It's just amazing how it all really does tie together.
Well, when you look at principles, and that's the key, like the exercises that I would suggest for the 85-year-old person are going to be similar exercises as I would for the 20-something, 30-something-year-old mixed martial arts fighter. The exercises are going to be similar. However, the intensity of it is going to be different. We don't need to destroy the body to get it to get better, to get it to improve. We just need to challenge it a little bit, and that little bit of resistance causes it to grow. Just like a seed, you have to plant it in the soil in order for it to have that pressure that it pushes out and then grows. Or the same thing like a butterfly, when it's coming out of a cocoon, it needs that resistance in order for it to grow. Otherwise, it doesn't build up the strength in the wings to be able to fly. And it's
right.
The same when you train the body, do different types of training, whether it be strength training or anything else, is that it needs resistance. And too many times, instead of giving it just a little bit more than it needs, we give it a whole lot, which ends up injuring the body more. So the same principles are going to apply no matter how old the person is. They look on the surface it looks different. Underneath, it's the same principle.
Sure.
So we'll take one more question, Michael.
Okay, one more question. Wow, which one did you just... Okay, well, I'm going to go with this one. It was the last question, and it's just because I had some input on this, and I think it applies to most people. The question was, how much water should be taken every day? That's the initial question. My question would be also, can you drink too much water?
Okay, I'll go with the first one. How much water to drink every day is your body weight divided by 2 ounces of water per day.
Could you repeat that, please?
Your body weight divided by 2 ounces of water per day.
Okay.
And that's like the general rule to go by. And yes, you can drink too much water. You can actually... By drinking too much water, if you've ever had that experience on a really hot day where you just start drinking water and you're sweating, and it's like you get to a point like sometime in the afternoon where it's like, I just can't drink any more water. Well, what has happened is you've flushed the electrolytes, which is the mineral content, out of your body. Your body has sweat so much that... You sweat all the minerals and the salts out of your body. And that lack of desire to drink more water comes from the lack of minerals that you have. It's like your body's kicking in a defense mechanism so you don't drink more and cause your body problems. So the trick to getting over that is to get a little bit of sea salt, which is high in mineral content, and mix a little bit of the sea salt in with the water that you drink. And just by taking a little bit of it, just a little pinch, all of a sudden your body's desire to drink more water is restored. And you can drink the water that your body needs.
Right.
So, yes, you can drink too much water, as well as you can drink not enough.
Sure.
So it's important to find that balance.
And getting to know your body to know what amount you need. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Bill. Well, once again, we thank you for your expertise and your time, and welcome back. And we look forward to next week's Q&A for some more insightful information.
Great, Michael. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Have a great and healthy week. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.